Olivia.
Hey, Tavi.
I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'm really excited about your book.
Thank you. Me too.
It's beautiful.
Thank you so much. I also think it's beautiful. I'm really proud of it.
You should be. I was so excited when I got it. Well, I know I texted you, but it's so wild to look at because I feel like a lot of these photos, I mean, you took them 5 or 6 years ago, but I've been a fan of your work for so long, and we've obviously worked together for a while, so many of them have been so important to me.
Oh, thank you. It's really lovely to hear you say that.
Well, I was just looking at, like, the first page here. You say, "This is the story of magic, of how memories, real or imagined, touch us." And I feel like so many of these photos have kind of intermingled with my own memories.
That's so special. Aw, I'm so happy to hear that.
You photograph a lot of people you feel close to. Do you ever find yourself taking some sort of remove so that you can capture them?
I mean, I think with the essence of photography, when you bring a device, a camera in front of you, or between you and the subject, of course there's like some level of removal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you use a tool. But I think erasing that tool as much as possible when you're actually taking the photograph is definitely something I strive for. So having really close relationships with the people that I photograph and not photographing the whole thing, just photographing it when I like really need to is part of that. So I think, yeah, definitely when I'm in the moment of it, I try to be as close to the moment as humanly possible, as possible as it is with a tool. But then when I'm editing the work or when I'm like looking through everything to kind of see what it means, like I have to be removed from it. When I look at this book, all of these moments are so important in my life, and like I remember them all vividly, but seeing them in a book, it's like I am removed. This is like a story that I wrote out of real life. Some of the images are also like imagined memories. The first chapter, Enveloped in a Dream, is especially about the world you create with your best friend when you're like a teenager. And so these are all staged photographs, but very, very real things that happened in my head and just kind of how I was seeing the world. And then the second half of the book, Kids in Love, is more documentary style, but obviously with a dreamy eye.
Right.
And all of these things truly happened in Kids in Love. And I try, when I photograph something in a documentary style way, to not take a million pictures, to really relish the moment. Mm. And then take the photo, or like both at the same time. I think I've just trained my brain that way.
Yeah.
To be in the moment and to also capture it.
You've talked a lot about pictures that feel pretty and memory-like. How do you use technique to evoke that sense of nostalgia?
Evoking nostalgia, it has a lot to do with technique. I think that is true. With the colors you use or like using grain. But I think you have to be a really good editor. I mean, that's a big part of it. You take 5 rolls of film and you pick one, and which one like evokes that emotion that you're trying to go after, which one has the composition but also the intention and the memory behind it, and how can you retouch that to make it exactly how that photo is supposed to be.
When there's an imperfection, like blurriness or overexposure in your photos, they always feel, as a viewer, organic, but I wonder how intentional they are.
Honestly, sometimes my camera is set to underexposed on accident. But I'm not a technical photographer. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty obvious, but I have aesthetic intention.
Mm.
Even when I make a mistake, I can see it as a thing that was supposed to happen, or something about that mistake was on purpose, even if it wasn't like my conscious mind speaking and like choosing that setting on the camera. I'm definitely a person that's like, whatever happens was meant to happen. So I definitely bring that into the camera.
Having worked with both film and digital, how important do you feel it is to be able to use film, having spent so much time in the dark room?
I really love both for different reasons, and I work with both interchangeably. I think that both film and digital have their purposes. Like maybe one's better at low light, or one's better in this situation, one's better outside in this kind of light. But they're both really amazing tools. I don't mind having to switch.
I think people sometimes dismiss digital or even...
It bugs me.
Yeah, really.
It really bugs
me.
Go on. when I hear, like, I only shoot film, I'm like, but you might be missing out.
Right.
I think that digital has a lot of possibilities, and maybe they just haven't tapped into the possibilities of digital. Like, I love shooting digital at night. Mm-hmm. I love shooting digital at night. It's, like, my favorite combination. But I don't like shooting high noon digital because it looks terrible.
Why do you like shooting digital at night?
Digital has a lot of low light capabilities and just treats color different at night. It just feels better. Sometimes I don't even know why my like aesthetic choices are what they are.
That's usually good.
Just know what tool I'm going to use when I'm setting up a situation.
Well, and I know you've been learning more lately about screenwriting and narrative
storytelling.
You find that that helps with photography?
Definitely. I'd say I don't really want to make pretty pictures anymore. I want to make pictures with a story, whether that's a full narrative story or whether that's about a universe.
When you have a commercial job, are you able to take the same point of view on the spontaneity?
I mean, when there's money involved, things are different, obviously. Like, you're working for someone, it's somebody else's pay and somebody else's intention and somebody else's like risk factor, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I think it depends. Like, I have a lot of freedom with my clients. People hire me for me, and a big part of that is like me finding beauty in imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had to really compromise my artistic vision to make somebody else happy.
I think that's like the dream, if you can do what you love for a living and people kind of leave you alone with your ideas.
Yeah. I feel so lucky.
People are always asking me,
people.
Some people are sometimes asking me if I feel I missed out on being a teenager because I was documenting it.
Mm.
Do you feel that way, or do you just get asked that a lot?
I get asked that all the time. I don't think I could have just been there. I would have freaked out.
Yeah, I know.
I have to make stuff out of what I'm doing, or I just, like, can't live my life.
Did you notice how it felt to be hanging out with your friends with or without a camera?
Absolutely. When I don't develop a roll of film from my own life for, like, a few weeks or something, I really start to get anxious and weird.
What's the longest you've gone without doing that?
Not long.
Wow.
Maybe a week. Probably a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You should see my archive. It's ridiculous.
Whoa. Have you ever tried to see what would happen if you went longer without taking photos of your own life?
Yeah, I have, maybe by accident.
Uh-huh.
And I just, like, I can't... It sounds so dramatic, but I just, like, can't grasp what it's like to be human without documenting it. That's so dramatic, but it's so true. My head's dramatic. It's fine. I'm an artist. It's fine. I have to. It's, like, that simple. I have to. I can't reflect upon anything that has happened unless I've documented it in some way, so then I don't grow. And then I feel very stagnant.
Oh, okay. So you and I were talking recently about changes we've made in how we use social media and how healthy these changes have been.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what you started doing and why and the effect it's had?
Every time I post an Instagram, I delete it off my phone.
You delete the app?
Yes. Every time I post an Instagram, I delete the app off my phone.
And then you download it again.
And then I download it again when I need to post an image for, like, my photo account.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, can't handle it. I think having followers is this, like, alt perspective that's maybe not super healthy. For me, personally, I don't want to see what everybody's doing all the time because it takes me out of, like, my own zone and has me focused on what other people are making or doing, and I don't really want to be influenced by it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of making work and giving it away is having it live in the world and people will have an opinion on it, but I don't really want to read all these things all the time.
No.
It's so much noise. Mm-hmm. It's so much noise, and I don't really want to be influenced by it, so I just, like, can't handle it, and I accept that about myself, and so I delete it all the time.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous how many times I've deleted the Instagram app and downloaded it again.
Do you feel like you're missing out?
No.
Do you feel like you have to be keeping up with the photography scene?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's important for my job to know what's going on a little bit, obviously. And I'm interested in pop culture and I love pop culture and I love what other people are making. But I just don't want to be influenced by it so much. I'm so in my head all the time that I'd rather explore that universe right now than like what everybody else is doing.
No, I think that that's healthy because I think, you know, when you scroll through Instagram, you're not getting like a real sense of other people's lives.
Hell no.
Yeah. I can't help but feel like every time I use one of those things on my phone, like it, all of it adds up to the opposite of a session of meditating.
So real. So real. Yeah, I think one of the big things about social media is that it just takes you out of your environment. It doesn't allow you to be present. And obviously, social media is great. I'm here because of social media. Like, I really respect it as a promotional tool. I think it's important. I use it in my life. But one of the things about it is that it takes you out of your environment. And a huge thing about being human and being a person on Earth is being in your environment. So now we are never in our own environment because we always have this thing that we're looking in or we're like in a different place because of something someone posted or something that you're reading on Twitter or something like that.
I know. We're like rats.
So we're not really in our environment all the time, which obviously from a work perspective, I have to use. Mm-hmm. And I really do enjoy being able to read all my emails at all the hours of the day. But you got to be there sometimes for sure.
Well, even when I'm at home and I'm
in Oak Park.
Just at my apartment and like looking at my phone. It's like it's not like I'm around people, but it still feels like I'm not fully experiencing solitude.
Totally. And also being on your phone, you can control how much you want of someone at any time and turn it on or turn it off, which is like so crazy.
I know. It's so awful.
I know it is awful. It's so crazy. Yeah. When I'm by myself and I'm like, I need some just alone time, I try not to be on my phone that much because that ruins your alone time because you're not alone.
Thank you so much, Olivia B., for coming on Studio 360 with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Olivia's book, Kids in Love, is out now.
Thank you. That was fun.
Of course. Good.
It's like being at dinner, but being in a studio. Now, growing up, now quickly.